Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is time now for Travel Thursday.
Yes. And actually, of course, it's no secret that COVID-19 has deeply affected the tourism sector all over the world, even if the Europeans are pushing for it. Regionally, the decline in tourism numbers for the Asia-Pacific region stood at 84%. And in Southeast Asia, similar declines have emerged during what was by far the worst year on record for tourism.
Hey, you know, no one has been spared, and that includes our neighbour Malaysia, whose tourism sector has been knocked cold by COVID-19.
Yeah, in an effort to help the tourism sector, Malaysia's banking on domestic revenge tourists to boost the battered leisure travel sector once it's safe to take holidays again.
Well, the term revenge tourism describes this huge desire within us to travel after being stuck at home due to COVID-19 pandemic. But, you know, how much can their domestic tourism scene help the sector?
Yeah, and exactly how damaging has this all been for the tourism sector, for everybody across the causeway?
Well, let's find out from Edzwa Zah bin Ayub Azari, who is Director of Singapore-Malaysia Tourism Promotion Board. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Manisha.
Well, we are fans of Malaysia. We really miss, you know, heading up there. And we've seen how COVID-19 has knocked Malaysia tourism cold, just like it's done to a lot of countries. I mean, you're the director of Malaysia Tourism Promotion Board here in Singapore. Give us a lowdown of how badly the pandemic has affected the tourism industry there.
Well, 2020 was considered a tumultuous year for Malaysia. In fact, our economy, overall economy, was really badly affected. And the worst was our tourism industry. As you can see, it was at a standstill when the borders were closed to international travelers. This falls to our decline in our receipts and also international tourist arrivals. In terms of arrivals, you know, our arrival figure plunged 83.4% last year as compared to 2019. And in terms of our tourist receipts, we also received a negative growth of 85.3% as compared to last year. So both are actually an indication of a sharp dive from the closure of Malaysian borders exactly a year ago. I think today, Elliot and Manisha.
Wow. It's been a year.
Yeah.
Exactly a year.
It's been a year, actually, you know.
I remember I was actually planning a trip up to JB and we were like on the fence, and then we had circuit breaker here in Singapore, and then, boom, Malaysia, movement control order.
So, in fact, Malaysia, you know, I mean, cross-border crossing was actually none. It doesn't make sense at all, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sure everybody miss going to, you know, the places of interest in Johor, especially those good food area, you know.
Yes.
The reason and whatnot, you think?
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that, actually, because I was quite curious whether there were any sort of businesses within the tourism sector in Malaysia that got hit far more than others.
Of course, the overall economy was affected. You know, the most badly hit sector in the tourism industry was our hotel. You can see around more than 100 hotels closing their doors throughout the year last year. And besides hotels, the travel agent and tour operator, the locals in Malaysia, you know, was actually not having any business businesses because no international tourists comes in. And of course, JB or Johor being near to Singapore, the other sector was actually the retail. Almost, you know, shopping complexes, less visitors going to there, to the shopping complexes, and also all to those fabulous restaurants, you know, fabulous food area in JB. So, can imagine, you know, when the hotel is closed, it affected a lot of manpower. A lot of people lost their job, you know, a lot of restaurants has to close down, Elliot, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
This is bad. This is actually bad, you know, for us.
Actually, maybe you can help me out because I'm sure you're in touch with Malaysia very closely. So JB, just to relate, right? If anyone drives up to JB, it's all to the shopping malls. Given COVID and everything that's happened, how are some of the biggest malls there doing? For example, KSL Mall or even Paradigm Mall. I mean, are all the small shops, are they gone case already? What do you know?
I think, Elliot, you know, by mentioning KSL... probably you frequent there. I mean, I see we frequent there.
I love JB lah.
Okay. Well, you know, earlier when we closed the international border, you know, most of the shops was not badly hit. You know, they did not close immediately because domestic tourists, you know, local people are still going, you see. They can frequent all these shopping malls and whatnot. But as you can see, when suddenly there is a spike in the numbers of cases, and then our government wanted to take measures, a precaution, not to make sure the spike doesn't go that high. So we implemented the MCO, you know.
Yes.
The movement restriction, you know. So when the government imposed MCO, so there was no actually movement. A lot of people need to stay indoors, you know. Stay back at home. So this really affected the outlets in the shopping mall. So, but eventually, you know, as the cases gradually went down, then the government shifted to the second phase, which is the recovery movement control order, where they allow not cross-border actually traveling, but in terms of district travel. I mean, for example, people in Johor, they can travel between their district in Johor. People in Johor Bahru can travel to maybe to Pontian and so on and so forth. So the shops that has been actually the malls, the outlets that was closed, so they can actually have a breather. You know, people slowly started to come and frequent their outlets. From MCO to RMCO, the recovery period actually helps a lot, Elliot.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other big difference between Singapore and Malaysia, of course, is Malaysia is much bigger as a country in terms of the geography.
I tend to agree, Manisha.
Well, you know, it's a fact. It's a fact we can't deny. So the thing is, though, there is thankfully that opportunity that people can begin to move around. I mean, you were just underlining that they can begin to do this now. But what will it be like when suddenly everyone can move freely? There are more vaccinations being done. When you've had an industry that's had to contract, how does it then absorb all of that extra tourism that may suddenly come rushing back? At least that's the hope.
Actually, that is a good point, Manisha, that you brought out. As you can see, when people travel, so I think I relate to what earlier you guys have been saying about revenge tourism, you know? Revenge tourism is actually the desire for people to travel, you know, after being cooped up, you know, stuck at home. So free movement will go. So, however, our government has also taken precaution measures, especially in terms of enforcing, you know, the SOPs at various shopping malls, at various complex, even restaurants. For example, in Singapore, you know, you need to scan, you know, before you can frequent the outlet. Similarly to Malaysia also, you know, you need to register. Failing to do so, they will be imposed a fine. And recently, the fine has been increased to ensure that everyone who actually frequent or who travel must adhere to the SOPs lined out by our government.
Yeah.
So although we want the economy to grow back, but we have to ensure that the recurrence of the spike in COVID-19 does not actually escalate, you know, and goes out of control, Elliot, Manisha. Okay?
Very true.
So this is how we ensure, you know, to educate, to tell the public, look, you know, certain places can frequent not more than maybe 5 people. And then when you travel under the RMCO, you're not allowed to cross the border, but you're allowed to cross the district. So there must be a probable cause for you to travel. So these are all the precautions imposed by the government.
No choice, like you have to be strict about it.
Have to.
Yeah, but when you look at, there's always expectation, you know, we are human beings, right? So you see other countries, hey, they are planning some kind of travel bubble, when will be out then? So Singapore, Australia, we're discussing something like that so that there's no quarantine, no vaccine or vaccination hubs. It's still not in discussion, but you know, maybe that will come soon. Is it possible to have something between Singapore and JB at least? Is it something that is being discussed? Because JPO is waiting for me, you know.
I'm sure the outlets in JPO is asking you to, you know, come. You know, there's a lot of bargain, you know, offer for you to come.
I know Singaporeans are saying we'll be back.
that is actually a very, you know, a common phrase. You know, I'll be back and everybody will be back.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, to actually to elaborate what you were actually talking about, the bubble. Every nation, you know, which actually is seeing that the cases of COVID is non-existent, for example, like New Zealand, and for example, like in even Singapore, you know, Brunei. So what did both countries want to do is to encourage travel between both countries. So it's a bilateral agreement between probably Singapore and Brunei to open the corridor, to open their borders. So the idea of travel bubble was mooted up to ensure, you know, when both travelers from both countries, so there was actually minimum screening, probably, you know, faster clearance and whatnot.
Okay.
So I think the Singapore government has been actually talking to the selected countries such as like Hong Kong, for example, you know. I think I'm sure it with Vietnam, in China. So countries which actually shown less or none case existed, okay. As for Malaysia, of course, there are actually talks between the government level on the possibility of air travel bubble, because recently your minister has predicted, you know, with vaccination and whatnot, so the possibility of air travel bubble would be there. And we are actually talking on the government level with Singapore on the possibility of perhaps maybe a travel bubble between Singapore and Langkawi, probably between Singapore and Kuching, Sarawak.
Uh-huh.
And also to Kota Kinabalu. So these are actually the selected destination that would be brought up between both government and the government in their discussion.
Okay.
Yes. But when it comes to JB, you know, we know that currently there's two actually movement arrangement between JB and Singapore under the PCA and RGL. But those are for workers. So they actually probably there are discussion between our government, the possibility of cross-border, you know, where they allow those people who have been vaccinated to travel, but in actually an accordance manner, probably under a green lane, for example, you know, using your own private vehicle. Upon when you have already vaccinated, then you can cross over to JB, you know. There are possibilities, Elliot, that we are talking about this.
Rawa Island also boleh, just stay there.
That's I've got my eye on that price, you know, that one and Kinabalu and Langkawi. I mean, bring it on. That's what I'm saying. And it's wonderful to hear that these conversations are happening. Any sense of timing?
Well, as you can see, when we talk about vaccination, the possibility, I think under the WHO, there were actually countries are talking about vaccine passport, you know, all this kind of initiative. So the most important thing is to ensure that the vaccination program has been carried out to at least 80% of the people. For example, either in Malaysian citizen or Singapore citizen. So once we have 80% completed, vaccination, probably the chances of traveling, you know, would be much higher. I believe your Prime Minister has indicated for leisure travel coming in and out of Singapore, the timeline would be probably until end of this year.
Mm-hmm. Do you share the same sentiment in terms of Malaysia's tourism sector and how long it will take to recover from this setback? I mean, just to wrap things up, you think end of this year, maybe next year?
That is $1 million question, actually.
$1 trillion, I think.
Yeah. Well, if you ask, you know, I mean, prediction, we can only always predict. It's our wish list that the border can be open as soon as possible. But the reality bites, you know. So I'm saying about, you know, when Malaysia, we want to open our border into international tourists, we have to ensure that the vaccination program in Malaysia has been carried out, not only to ensure our people, the Malaysians, are actually covered from the disease, but we want to ensure our guests, when they come to Malaysia, they are assured, you know, they are actually guaranteed that their livelihood, their health is taken care of by our tourism industry player. So this is very important. So we don't know, maybe we do not want to rush it too soon. Maybe we play by ear, but if you ask me, I think I echo the same similar sentiment with your Prime Minister. probably by end of this year.
Don't worry, your neighbors are waiting because we got so many friends in Malaysia. We are waiting and hoping for that day soon.
Friends and relatives.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Edzwar Zain bin Ayub Azari, who is Director of Singapore Malaysia Tourism Promotion Board. Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Welcome to you, Elliot and Manisha. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.